Okay, what I'm going to talk about actually connects really strongly with a lot of what was talked about in the first session. So I'm sorry if I end up sort of almost repeating some of those ideas. But Greta Thunberg, when she addressed the UN, asked the question, why should I be studying for a future that soon may be no more, when no one's doing anything to save that future? What I'm going to be arguing today is that schooling is expanding very rapidly in remote rural areas of the global south. One thing that schools do is to mediate the future for young people, the future for society. They generate visions of futures, both individual and collective, and they also prepare children for a particular future. But I'm arguing that features of schooling, and particularly the ways that they incite certain types of aspiration, actually alienate rural children from rural futures. Partly that's because children are led to aspire to formal sector careers that are jobs that just don't exist in rural areas very often. Not just that, but then the children fail to achieve those. And as a consequence, children end up leaving school, lacking in skills, lacking in aspirations for rural livelihoods, and also believing that schooling is irrelevant to rural life. So I ask the question, really, and I don't think I answer this question yet, why does so much investment, so many millions, billions of pounds, euros, whatever, go into something that's so apparently dysfunctional? So just to highlight the global expansion of education, we've been working in lower middle income countries. In those countries, 93% of children now complete primary school, result of Millennium Development Goals, free primary education systems, and so on. But the education that is delivered in remote rural areas is much the same education as has been delivered throughout the world, really, over many decades. It's still serving the same purpose as education in the colonial era. Schooling, as I've said, encourages children to orientate themselves to the future in new ways. Children who go to school are expected to think about the future in different ways from perhaps the societies from which they draw, that they grow up in, their parents' generations. An aspiration within the school system actually serves an instrumental role. It drives children through school. They're encouraged to aspire to progress through school. It might also be argued that aspiration enables social change, a Padgerized idea of the capacity to aspire as being something that is functional to social change. And it might also be seen as an engine of economic growth, education being viewed as a means of producing aspirational individuals who will be key actors in a productive economy. We've been working in rural areas. Officially, we're working in remote rural areas. I'm not sure they're really so remote, but rural areas really are the frontiers of the global economy. They're not static. They're undergoing rapid transformation. But at the same time as that, it seems that there are diminishing opportunities for youth, partly due to changes in climate and so on. Importantly for our research, education focuses much more on urban futures than it does on rural futures. But even with urban futures, it doesn't enable young people to actually achieve them, as has been pointed out in quite a lot of research. It de-skills young people, they lose ecological knowledges. We heard some of that this morning. Just to highlight, this is a project that I've been doing over the last 3 years, with a number of colleagues in the UK, in the Netherlands, in the three countries where we're working. And those three settings are Lesotho, the mountains of Lesotho, Chhattisgarh, a tribal area in rural central India, and in the mountains of Udomsai province in Laos. In terms of methodology, what I'm talking about here is mainly based on ethnographic research undertaken by postdoctoral researchers in schools, in rural primary schools, and in the surrounding communities, including a lot of interviews, a lot of discussion with community leaders, and so on. What I'm going to talk about first is the processes through which education seems to be alienating young people from rural life. And these are processes that operate through curricula, through textbooks, through the teaching practices, as well as through the spatial and temporal organisation of education in all three countries. Apologies, I haven't got time really to draw on the voices of young people very much themselves, so this is a very broad overview. I'm also not pulling out as much as I should the contextual differences between the three countries. That'll be developed elsewhere. So five processes. Firstly, through denigrating rural life, something that happens in schools in all three countries. Through promoting non-rural aspirations. Through presenting a very intangible future. Through the fact that teachers, for various reasons, don't believe that they can make a difference in young people's lives. And through the way in which education presents a binary view of futures. So I'll take each of those in turn. Rural life generally is very much underrepresented in curricula and textbooks. If you look at textbooks from all three countries, most of the depictions are very clearly of urban life and of things that are simply not familiar to rural children. So we have here, picture on the left is a picture of children going to a fun fair in Laos. When the children in our school were asked what it was about, they thought the children were going to school. They, of course, have absolutely no concept of a fun fair. And the picture on the right-hand side is from a Lesotho textbook. It's how to do PowerPoint. These are children who attend schools that have no electricity, let alone computers. And they've got a 6-page explanation of how to use PowerPoint that they're expected to learn. Clearly something that's familiar to urban children who have computers in school, but not to them. Schooling is about or for elsewhere. Lesotho, they're supposed to learn chess. They have no chess boards. They could quite easily learn. I mean, the picture here, the boys are playing Marabaraba, which is a sort of local, I was going to say board game, but you know, they play it with stones on the concrete, on the rock face, a similar strategy game. No, they learn to play chess in school. Where rural life is depicted, it is often denigrated. These pictures are from the Lao textbooks of, one is a picture of setting fire, Sweden cultivation, where they're burning the bush with a big cross through it. The second picture is a picture of hunting, again, a big cross through it. No explanation really of why these are problematic. And these, of course, are activities that their communities are very much dependent on. They are their way of life. And they're just presented them with a cross through. The Lesotho one is perhaps a bit more subtle, but it's about the damaging pastoralism practices in the mountains. And even things like school uniforms. They're supposed to dress a particular way to go to school. The boys or children in Lesotho are not allowed to wear gumboots to school because those are rural costume, even though they have to wade across a river to get to school. They're not allowed to wear their blankets, even though in winter it's very cold. And of course, the language of school is very often different from the language of home. Secondly, around the promotion of aspirations. There are different elements to this. Schooling essentially is understood as a trajectory in all three settings. It's something that's focused on the future. Children move forward through hierarchical stages. They are encouraged to aspire to move on to the next class, to move on to secondary school, to secure a good future. But aspirations are also deployed instrumentally by teachers. The teachers in Laos talked about giving children a dream when they come to school, encourage them to want, you know, tell them, you know, if you do well in school, you can become a teacher. Conversely, in Lesotho, we heard that children were told, if you behave this way, you will never become whatever. So aspiration is used as something that's there to sort of control how children engage with education. It's not just linear temporally, it's also sort of hierarchical spatially. Progression isn't just linear over time. They're also expected to progress over space. So the nursery school will be very local. Primary schools will be in the larger villages. Secondary schools may be in town. University, of course, will be in the city. And you're expecting to move further and further away from your rural community. That movement constitutes progress. One of the things I found really striking about this research was the way that four particular occupations came up when children talked about their futures in all three settings. Those four occupations, teacher, nurse, soldier, or police officer, they are very much dominant through all of the textbooks, through when they're there in sort of posters on the classroom walls. And if you ask children in class what they want to do, you can guarantee that most of them will say those things. And we did a small quantitative survey as part of this research. Again, in all three settings, those were absolutely dominant. I think it was 75% or so in Lesotho came up with one of those four as their aspiration for when they leave school. In Laos, it was more than 90% of children. They do talk about their reasons, and part of it's around actually getting a salary, particularly having a secure, regular salary. They're attracted by the uniforms. They're attracted by notions of discipline and order. They're also socially valued roles. So in these particular jobs, you can see the sort of state-centric national aspirations coming together with local ideas about altruism, wanting to improve life in the village. But of course, those salaried professions are not going to be attainable for most rural young people. If you look at the case of India, 3.6% of adults work in government employment, 2.3% in the formal private sector, 94% work in the informal sector. Their futures will not be in those four occupations. Another characteristic of these futures as they're presented in school is that they're presented as static endpoints. There's no content to them. There's not really any discussion of what it means to be a policewoman or a driver. And when you talk to young people, when they say, you know, I want to be a nurse, it's usually quite a hollow statement. There's not a lot of conviction there. You ask them again a couple of weeks later and they'll say something different. It's almost just a bit of rhetoric. It's a bit of the sort of discourse of education. You say these things. Then also, teachers themselves don't believe they're going to make a difference to young people. They recognise the structural constraints that mean that children won't attain these sorts of jobs. They also have a very sort of condescending attitude towards rural families very often. And they view the purpose of education as something very narrow. It's about passing exams and it's about getting those jobs. But, you know, we're not going to enable our children to get work as a teacher, so what's the point? And it's important to recognise also that teachers themselves have failed in their aspirations very often. Teaching tends to be a career of last resort. These aren't, on the whole, adults who have been through rural schools. They've come from urban schools where they had expected something better, but end up as teachers. And rural schools in particular are often used as punishment for teachers. So the teachers lack enthusiasm, they're often absent, they're not really inclined to talk to children about their future livelihoods. They just focus on exam subjects. And lastly, there's this sort of binary view. All this comes together as this idea of, you know, success is having urban salaried work in one of those formal sector careers for which education is essential. Alternatively, if you don't get that, it's failure, it's rural struggle, it's insecurity, hard manual work, increasingly, and they perceive this, increasingly challenging conditions. And education, whatever education they've achieved, is irrelevant to that. It doesn't have a role to play outside of those formal sector jobs. So the futures that schools promote get more distant rather than closer as children grow older. Most children drop out of school sooner than they would want to, either because they just don't see any more value in it or for other reasons, and they end up disappointed. So, concluding, most rural children go to school, they're led to envisage futures that actually have no direct relation to the rural environment. Few are really destined for the sort of urban futures that they're led to believe in. They fall off this assumed trajectory and resort to a different future, but one where they believe schooling has no role to play. So I want to just sort of finish off by asking the question of why it is that children are being encouraged to aspire to these futures that are out of reach. Why does that happen? Why is so much money going into educating rural children for a future that they won't attain? I'll skip that one. You know, it could be education just has some intransigent features that are left over from colonial times that are very, very hard to change. Or that education actually is mainly concerned with nation building, the future of the nation rather than the future of children. Or is rural education actually about a quest to increase state presence in rural areas? Or is it a well-meaning effort to enhance young people's prospects of getting a life elsewhere, given the increasing inability of rural environments to sustain livelihoods? Well-meaning but ineffectual. Or are there actually economic reasons why this is happening? For schooling rural children, given that most of them are going to remain peripheral to national and international economies. And what I don't have time to do here, and I haven't really begun to sort of think this through properly, but I think there's some interesting work out there around the concept of waste. Gidwani and Reddy, who talk about waste as the opposite of value, but necessary to the functioning of a capitalist economy. Tanya Lee, who talks about chronic under-reproduction as a strategy of global capital. Cindy Katz, who talks about children as waste, surplus to the needs of the modern economy, but an inevitable product of it. So is rural education simply about managing and containing surplus rural youth? So Greta Thunberg then asks, why should I be studying for a future that may soon be no more? No one's doing anything to save that future. And, you know, I ask, in parallel to that, why do we encourage young people to aspire to and study for a future that actually cannot be, rather than making alternative futures possible? Thank you.